For millennia, the oceans have given us a lot more than dinner. We can also thank them for a world of mythology full of magical creatures like mermaids, silkies, and the giant octopus. Even J.K. Rowling, author of the famous Harry Potter books, writes of a giant squid swimming in the lake at Hogwarts School of Magic. Clyde Roper is a zoologist at the Smithsonian Institution of Natural History, and he says there's nothing remotely magical about the giant squid. They are very much a reality, even though no one has ever seen a live one. I asked him what a giant squid looks like.
Interestingly, it doesn't look all that much different from the normal calamari that we might eat on a pasta, for example. It has a long tubular body, a head with two gigantic eyes, eight arms that circle the mouth, and then two long feeding tentacles that the animal uses for capturing its prey. And when I say long, these can be quite astounding. These animals are reportedly able to grow upwards of 50 to 55, possibly 60 feet.
They really look different from almost anything we know, and I suppose that must be part of the reason they appear to be so threatening. What kind of stories are told about them?
Well, there are all kinds of stories where fishermen have gone out and then come back with these tales of seeing these monstrous animals that have grabbed the ships. One that comes to mind dates back to rather more recently, about 1800, where a ship was down off the coast of Africa. And as it weighed anchor and started to sail back to Europe, it was said that a gigantic beast, they called it a pulpa, which is a French word for octopus, came along and pulled the ship over on its side. And it was only the very fast action of sailors that chopped the arms and tentacles off. And the ship righted and sailed back up into the little town of Saint-Malo in France. And the story goes that the very first thing these sailors did when they reached land was to run up to the chapel and fall on their knees and give thanks for being saved. But I've known lots and lots of sailors and have been to sea a lot myself, and I'll guarantee you the first place those guys went was not the chapel. You know, they went to the closest pub, I'll guarantee you.
One of the things that fascinated me when I saw pictures for the first time of the specimens that have been found is the beak in the mouth of a squid. It resembles very strongly, for someone who has no knowledge of these things, the beak of a bird.
Exactly. That's a very good comparison. And even closer, the beak of a parrot. Yeah. And, of course, parrot's beaks are very, very powerful if you've ever gotten in the way of one. And it's the same with squids, except that instead of having the upper beak overlap the lower, it's just the opposite in squids, where the lower beak overlaps the upper. And the material is very similar to your fingernails and very, very hard. And they are wrapped in a ball of muscle, pure solid muscle. So the jaws are extremely powerful.
And can chew up and break up into small pieces whatever the squid is going to eat. I was curious about what squids eat, in fact. Do we know?
Well, we have some hints, having examined the stomach contents of a few specimens. We know that they eat deep-sea fishes, various kinds, and we also know that they eat other kinds of deep-sea squids, smaller squids. The interesting thing about when we talk about the beaks and how powerful they are and how sharp they are, the digestive system or tract of cephalopods is interesting because the esophagus passes right through the center of the brain, so that these animals are not able to capture their food and swallow it whole. They have to take bite-sized chunks and then swallow it so that they don't ream out their brains when they swallow the food.
Gives a whole new meaning to thinking about what you eat, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it certainly, if your mom told you not to bite off more than you can chew, it puts meaning to that, too. A baby squid doesn't want to bite off more than it can chew, or it'll lose its ability to think about where its next meal is coming from.
Now, I know you've done a couple of expeditions trying to get that first glimpse of a live giant squid, and the last one was in New Zealand, right? You took mini submarines with clear walls down into the water, hoping you'd see it. What did you see there?
Oh, we saw a lot of really spectacular stuff. Each dive that we took in New Zealand, we were setting new deep diving records for submersibles, standing at around 300 meters and going all the way down to an excess of 2,200 feet. So we were seeing all kinds of both habitats and organisms that no one had ever seen alive before. And this included things like the hoki fish, which is the largest commercially produced fisheries in New Zealand. They catch 200,000 metric tons or so a year. No one had ever seen these animals alive. And we were right in the schools and just filming these schools of these really quite beautiful fish. We saw prickly shacks, for example. Normally the fishermen and fisheries biologists might see one a year, never alive, but in the fishing nets that come up. And we saw a pair of them swimming together alive, and of course got excellent video footage of that. And again, all kinds of invertebrate animals that live on the substrate floor, different kinds of sponges looking like snowballs and big yellow cream puffs, for example, wonderful mussels with pink frilly gills and tentacles around the outside of them, just lots of really interesting and beautiful animals.
Wonderful pictures that you've taken, but no giant squid.
No giant squid. Not yet. But the giant squid for me is much more than just a big squid. To me, the giant squid is an icon that represents the deep sea. And here we have something that everybody can become interested in and engaged with, is a massive animal like this. It has the mystery, and it has the drama, it has the danger, all of these things that captivate people, not the least of which kids and students. So I use the giant squid as an icon to introduce people into the largest ecosystem that has ever existed on the face of the planet. That's the deep sea. Everything below 300 to 500 feet is deep sea. And so our entire Earth, it's sort of like the Earth's engine in many respects, because it interfaces with the air, it brings up nutrients from the deep, it drives the circulation patterns. So what goes on in the deep sea, even though we don't know very much about it, is driving what happens at the surface of the sea and, consequently, on the land itself. So if we can use this organism to get people interested in, excited about, knowledgeable about the deep sea, I think our objectives here will have been achieved.
Clyde Roper is a zoologist at the Smithsonian Institution of Natural History. He says he still wants to be the first person ever to see a live giant squid.